There's a course that must be finished. There's a race that must be run. There's a mission to accomplish and a battle to be won. We've been called to take the challenge by God's might and through His Son. He will give us grace to complete the race, moving forward, pressing on toward the hope of our high calling, toward the promise we've received. With the strength that we've been given, pressing on to victory, and toward the one who's run before us, as we lay each weight aside, till the race is run, till the prize is won, till we reach the finish line. Press on.
There's a faithful cloud of witnesses who inspire us in our task. They have fought the fight, they have run the race, they have won the crown at last. And the lives they've lived remind us, though the race at times seems long,
God will give the grace to complete the race and the courage to press on toward the hope of our high calling, toward the promise we've received. With the strength that we've been given, pressing on to victory, and toward the one who's run before us, as we lay each weight aside, till the race is run, till the prize is won, till we reach the finish line. Press on, till the race is run, till the prize is won, till we reach the finish line.
Appreciate that song this morning. They're doing all of our music today. Here, Trent, you want these words, buddy? If I tried that, it won't be near as good, all right? So take those. Appreciate the good music. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Find that scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Put a ribbon there, a piece of paper, and flip over and find chapter 11 as well. We're going to be reading from two passages in the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to read verses 4 through 7 in chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 18 and 19 in chapter 11. So find the scripture there. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, Deuteronomy is the fifth book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Chapter 6 and chapter 11. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word, if you're able to. If not, that's fine. Follow along. I begin reading in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now look over at chapter 11, verse number 18. So chapter 11, verse 18, you'll realize this is almost a verbatim repeat from chapter 6, verse number 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Now watch verse 19. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I just simply want to preach this morning on God's Word for the kids. God's Word for the kids. Father in heaven, we're thankful to have a day like this where we emphasize the young people's ministry, the children's ministry, Lord, all the way from 3 years old through 12th grade. Thank you for the privilege to have kids in the church. Thank you for the privilege to have your book to teach them. Help me this morning as I challenge us from the Scripture. May the Holy Spirit do the heavy work in our hearts this morning that needs to be done. Lord, may this be more than just the words of a man. I pray that you'll anoint them, bless them, use them as only you can to our hearts this morning. We'll thank you in your name. We pray it, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I said earlier, this day is one of my favorite days of the entire year. I love the emphasis with the kids coming over and singing and the emphasis tonight in the service again with the young people. It is a privilege and a blessing to be able to minister to children. It is not a bother. It's a blessing to have enough workers, as I said earlier, to serve in all the areas so that we can minister to the children. And I think personally it's a blessing for the kids when they come to church to have other children to be with and to interact with in the classes and here and there, rather than just, there's nothing wrong with a small church. The Bible tells us that God does not judge a church by its size. God judges a church by its sort. There's nothing wrong with having a couple of kids in class, but I think it's much nicer for the children when there's, you know, a handful of kids for them to enjoy and interact with in the day ministries at Faith Baptist. And so we're blessed. I mentioned kids create work, but they are well worth the work. I'd rather have lots of kids and face the pressure of serving them all than have no kids and no pressure. Kids bring life to a ministry. They just do. They keep it enthusiastic. You know, I've said before, I told you when I was down in Fort Worth and I preached and getting ready to preach, I'd washed my hands in the men's room and I was standing in the middle of the bathroom there, kind of a larger bathroom. I was standing in the middle of the bathroom opening a peppermint. This little guy comes running into the bathroom. He literally came right to me. He saw me, he came up to my knees. No joke, he was about that tall. And he came right there and he looked straight up at me and said, "Can I have one of those?" I said, "Go ask your mother." She said, "Yes." So, what did you do? I gave him a piece of candy. Anybody that quick deserves a piece of candy. So, but anyway, kids bring life to a church. But folks, you realize when we get them here, we have a great responsibility. And the purpose of Sunday school and bus ministry and junior church and King's Kids and the other programs, and I'm talking Sunday school, I'm talking 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock Sunday school, 3 o'clock Sunday school, goes on almost all day. When we're talking about the purpose of those ministries is not just to bring them here and say, "Hey, look at how many kids we've got." The purpose of it is to bring the kids here and to teach them the Word of God. Now, to shorten up the message this morning, because we're a little late getting started, you know Deuteronomy is preparation book for the children of Israel going into the land of Canaan. Okay? So you say, well, it's written to Jews. It's written to the children of Israel. We had this in our Sunday school class this morning where I taught the people there. They already knew this. But I taught the people that not all the Bible is written to us and not all the Bible is written about us, all of the Bible is written for us. We can learn something from every place in the Bible. Yes, I understand what Deuteronomy is. It's Moses instructing the children of Israel as they go into the land of Canaan. I got it. But God put it in this book for us to benefit from, to learn from, okay? And I want you to notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6 that Moses called them, he called them, when I say them, the words here, he called them these words. These words. And in chapter 11, verse number 18, he's speaking for God, and he called them my words. Now, people, look, if you got King James Bible in your hand this morning, these words are God's words. Okay? These words are God's words. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, these words are God's words. Now, you have to be careful if you have a study Bible and some man has written notes at the bottom of the page, those aren't God's words. But the Scripture, these verses, these chapters, these books, from beginning to end, they are God's words. They're not our words. They're not Baptist words. They're Bible words. They're God's words. There is that's what they are. And these words have the power to change lives. They have the power to shape and mold lives. These words are to be obeyed. And if obeyed, these words bring blessing. If obeyed, these words bring victory. They bring joy. They bring peace. You're not promised a trouble-free life by these words. But you're promised that you'll be able to overcome through the power of these words. Okay? And that's why we choose to minister to children. Both those whose parents bring them to church and those whose parents send them to church. Makes no difference. We're going to teach the Bible to all of them. Because it's this book that has the power. Now, in these verses, we find just how important God considered these words as far as teaching them to children goes. He said in verse number 7 of chapter 6, now watch this, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And chapter 11, verse number 19, is almost a word-for-word repeat of chapter 6, verse 7. Sitting, walking, lying, and rising up. So when you put all of these together, these words are to be taught to the children when we get up, as we sit in the house, as we walk outside the house, and as we go to bed. You say, that sounds like all day. Really does, doesn't it? Sounds like all day. It sounds like 24/7, 7 days a week. It's almost like every waking hour the Word of God should be exalted to the children. So dad and mom not only have a responsibility to talk the words of God to their kids, they have a responsibility to walk the words of God. Not just talk them, but walk them. So whatever is done at church, people, is only an extension of what should be done at home. Listen very carefully to all the couples, young couples especially, who have children in the primary church and so forth, and even those whose kids are a little bit older. It is not the church's sole responsibility to teach your kids the words of God. We're an extension of the home. We're an extension of what should be started at home with dad and mom. It says in both passages, teach them diligently unto thy children. He's speaking to the people, the nation of Israel, and he's saying to them, teach them in your home. And yes, if you'd like to include the meetings at the tabernacle, you can. But home is the place to start the teaching of God's Word. So, I want to spend the rest of my time this morning very, very practically talking about starting at home. How can dad and mom fulfill the responsibility of getting the Word of God to the kids? Because that's where it's supposed to begin. And then it's up to us as a church people to have a ministry designed to help dad and mom get the Word of God to the kids. So, let me say this. Number one, dad and mom need to have their own Bible time. Dad and mom need to have their own Bible time. People, parents, listen carefully. So many things about the Christian life are more caught than taught. More caught than taught. So dad and mom, let me ask you a fair question this morning. This is a fair question. Do your kids know that you have a Bible time? Do they know that? You say, well, you know, no. Dads, that's a good way to begin to fulfill your responsibility. And your kids probably know what your favorite sport is. Your kids probably know what your hobby is, your favorite hobby is. Your kids probably know what your favorite recreation is. They probably know, Dad, what the most fun thing you enjoy doing is. because they see us paying attention to it or they hear us talking about it? So, fair question. Do they know that this book is important to you? Along with your recreation, along with your hobby, along with your fun. Do they know that, some child might know, man, my dad loves to work with wood. Or my dad loves to hunt. Or my dad loves to... Nothing wrong with that. But fellas, we need to make sure as we got children growing up in our home, that our kids know that dads enjoy the Bible. Have some time for the Bible. Mom, your kids probably know what your favorite hobby is. Mom likes to sew. Mom likes to bake. Mom likes to shop. Mom likes recreation. Mom likes... They probably know. Do they know that you read your Bible? Do they know that? You know, Dad and Mom having their own Bible reading time and being faithful to it will send a subconscious message at the least and probably a very conscious message. God's Word is important to my dad, to my mom. Now, I got kids in the church still who are adult kids. They're not kids. They're grown adults. And normally, my devotions were done before they got up. But I think if you asked them, they would tell you, we know that when Dad was up in the morning, he was reading the Bible. We know that. Because that's been my practice. So, Dad, Mom, if you're going to teach the children at home the Word of God, you need to have your own Bible time to the point where the kids know the Bible is important to my dad, the Bible is important to my mom. Amen. Look, I'm not meddling this morning. I'm trying to help, okay? It's okay, sir. This is making me uncomfortable. It's all right. You don't come to church to be patted and said, you're a good boy. That's what your mother's for. Your pastor is not your mother. Okay? Do they know it? Now, look, I understand schedules in this day and age, work schedules, time schedules. A lot of you men are gone from the house before your kids get out of bed. You got to be gone by 10 o'clock. I'm just teasing. A lot of your kids, you're still asleep before you, but when you're long, you're gone. But there ought to be some evidence, some indication, they ought to know, Either after Dad leaves the house, when he's at work or at all his, or he talks, because you say, at lunch today I was reading my Bible. Or at break today I was reading. The kids ought to know that the Bible is important to Dad and Mom. So Dad and Mom need to have their own Bible time. Number two, it doesn't get any easier this morning, okay? So let's squeeze a little bit, all right? Find a time. Dad and Mom need to find a time, make a time for a fun family altar. And I wrote down find a time, and then I kind of scratched it out. I put a slash, and I put make a time. Don't use the excuse, I couldn't find time. Everybody from this side of the room to this side, from here to there, including upstairs, everybody makes time for what they want to do. Bottom line. I work 65 hours a week. I know. But somewhere in that week, you make time for what you want to do. If you want to be on the computer, you make time for it. And what I'm telling you right now, if there is not a group of people who grab hold of this and practice it and carry it on, it's going to be missing from Independent Baptist fundamentalism before long. And it's difficult, more difficult for your generation than it was when my wife and I's kids were small. Because time has been compressed. You get a text message. I've said before, if somebody wanted to talk to you and they called and nobody picked up the phone, okay. Now they text you. And if you don't respond immediately, it's like, where are they? What are they doing? I sent them a text message. You say, how do you know that? Guilty. Time is compressed. Everything's compressed now. And this matter of making time for a fun family altar is so vital. It's so important. And I know this can be heavy on people. I've already said workloads are greater than ever. There's more pressure on us when it comes to time. And I'll be honest with you, in some cases, we have filled time with less important pursuits. So I'm encouraging you, I'm challenging you this morning. By the way, did you notice in both verses, Moses said, when thou sittest down. That'd be a good practice for families to do today. Sit down together. Sit down around the table. No phones, no tablets, no TVs. What do we do? Look at each other. Better, at least you won't burn up your melatonin. Looking at a screen. I told you before, Brother Glenn Jasper's out there in Marshalltown, Fellowship Baptist Church, and he had those kids, I think Elaine McDonald's pastor growing up out there, and they used to gather around. He said sometimes it was tense, it was tight, it was stiff. Nobody was saying anything. He said, I felt like it needed to be livened up around the table. He would say, pass the butter. And he'd take the butter dish, stand up, and stick it to the ceiling in the kitchen. Sit back down. The kids were just... He said, I wonder how long that's going to stay up there. How long do you think that's going to stay up there? He went around the table and asked each kid. He said, it got them talking. Got them talking to each other. Folks, I don't know any other way to fulfill this Bible command that God saw fit to put in the Scripture twice. And when God repeats Himself, it's not because He ran out of something to say. It's for sake of emphasis. And twice, in just a few chapters, God said, take your children and sit down. Sit down. Sit down with them. And you make a time to sit down with your children and you open a Bible and you tell a Bible story, you explain a verse, and that carries so much potential. So much potential. And sometimes there will be duds. You'll have a family altar time and you'll think, good grief, that was a dud. But there's duds everything. Sometimes I preach dud messages. Sometimes there are dud specials. Sometimes there are dud Sunday school lessons. And it just doesn't go over, but it won't be exciting. It's about treading through mud. But other times there will be enthusiasm and there will be excitement. And there's going to be times where there's a light in the eye of those young children indicating that truth is hitting home. So teach them the Bible. Read them a Bible story. Give them the words of God, okay? And the key here is twofold. As I look at this practically, the key is twofold. First of all, it's the time of day. When? When can you do this? And you may have to be flexible as your life changes from the time when they're little and not in school to the time when they're teenagers and they're going hither and yon. You may have to be flexible. When can we sit down? Sit down! As a family and talk about something from the Bible. So you make a time. I can't let this pass. I can't find a time in the day, so now I'm going to make a time. We're moving this, we're changing this, we're eliminating this, and I'm carving out 15 minutes. 15. To have time with my children and God's Word. So when are you going to do that? That's the first one. And then the second thing is have a simple format. You're not there to preach to them. Now listen to recover. That's not what it's about. Sing and teach and pray and role play and act it out. And sometimes get good Bible books, books that are biblically principled, and read from them. You know, it's just, let me just be personal with you. A distinct blessing that Joyce and I have really enjoyed from time to time is witnessing our married kids having family altar with our grandchildren. Man. If there's anything I hope the kids caught, it was the importance of sitting down and having a Bible time. Amen. You say, this is just, it's okay, folks. We're just talking right out of the Bible this morning, okay? Sometimes it's aggravating. Oh. Because you're pressed for time. Sometimes it's frustrating because one or more of the kids was not paying attention closely. That happens. But sometimes it was electric. Sometimes it was subdued. But other times it was just clicking. And all it takes is one good time for the words of God to take hold in a heart and make a world of difference. Just one time. Just one time. So have family altar. Make dad and mom need to have their own Bible time. Dad and mom need to have family altar time. Number three, dad, and by the way, let me just add on there a P.S. You children, you kids, and especially you older kids, if your dad or mom tries to initiate family altar, don't you make it hard on them. Don't you pout and act like, that's foolishness. If your dad and mom make some time to sit down and go over the Word of God with you, sit up, pay attention, and enjoy the time with your family. Number three, dad and mom need to example the Bible in their lives. Somebody said years ago, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You know what that means? What I do says more than what I say. What I do says more than what I say. Dad, mom, live out the Bible in your marriage relationship. You're not going to have a perfect marriage relationship, but live out Bible principle in front of your children. Kids should know that dad loves mom. Kids should know that mom respects dad. Kids should know that. Kids should know that dad doesn't love everything else in the world and put up with mom. Kids should know that dad loves mom. And kids should know that mom doesn't challenge everything dad says. Correct everything dad says. Kids should know that mom respects dad. That's the two major things in the Bible when it comes to marriage. Ephesians 5:33, husbands love your wives. And wives, in fact, God uses a stronger word than I've been using this morning. God says reverence your husband. That's what God said. Reverence your husband. That's a stronger word than respect. And the kids need to know that. Now, the kids know that mom and dad are not perfect. You know, you always say, never argue in front of your kids. Who can claim you never argued in front of your kids? You say, well, we always went to the bedroom like they didn't know what was going on in the bedroom. Y'all stay right there. Don't move. Hi, kids. Hey, no, mom and dad have. But they should know dad loves mom and mom respects dad. Well, it doesn't hurt every once in a while, dad, pick that gal up that you married either recently or many, many years ago, twirl her around, laugh, give her a big kiss, say, I love you in front of the kids. The kids are sitting there. Dad loves mom. Mom loves dad. All is well in my house. All is well. Live out marriage relationship. Live out the Bible in your family relationship. Set biblically based rules for your kids to obey. Parents, contrary to what the world is telling you, kids appreciate rules. They appreciate knowing what they can do and what they can't do. They appreciate rules. Set some biblically based rules in your home. Enact biblically based punishment in your home and reward biblically based behavior. Have it good balance. You can't always punish when they break the rules and never reward. You've got to do both. You've got to balance the punishment out with reward. Live the Bible out in your family relationships. Don't just make rules because you don't like something. Put some Bible behind it. Okay? Live out the Bible in your people relationships. Pass out tracts and example Bible Christianity to your kids. It's our walk talks and our talk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. I would say more. I'm going to tell this little story. Some of you have heard it 20 times. I hope you don't mind number 21. Some have not heard it. This has happened years ago when I was assistant out in Iowa. And we were having a special day on Sunday, and I had a whole day of visiting lined up. And I was in Muscatine visiting, and Ben was just a little boy, and I took him with me. And I'm in a hurry. I'm making these visits, and I'm just almost halfway running from visit to visit in neighborhoods. And it rained a little bit and washed some mud on the sidewalk. And I was walking through that mud and realized that it was slick. And when I got on the other side of it, I just said over my shoulder, "Son, be careful. That's slick. You don't want to fall." And all of a sudden, I heard him say, "Dad." And I turned around and he's standing on the other side of the mud. And he looks at me and he says, and I'm not embellishing this. This is what he said. He said, "If I put my feet in your steps, will I be all right?" And I know what he was saying because my footprints were in the mud. I made it safely without falling. And he's just a little boy. "Dad, if I step where you step, will I be all right?" And I answered, "I think so, son." But the Spirit of God was doing fireworks in my heart. Saying, "Is he going to be all right, Dad? If he puts his feet in your steps, will he be okay?" Oh, Lord, help me. I told that story when I came here 28 years ago, plus 28 plus years ago, and I think it was Pam Britt brought me this little thing. She, I don't know all that stuff y'all do, ladies. It was where you get that you sew the words into the thing. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever it is, cross stitch. Thank you. And it said, "If I put my feet in your steps, will I be okay?" That's hanging in my office today, still there. When I walk out of the office, that's the last thing I look at just about every time. 28 plus years it's been hanging in my office. I don't want to forget that. Dad and Mom need to example the Bible in their lives. And then number four, I'm done. Dad and Mom need to promote Bible salvation to the kids. You need to promote Bible salvation. Now, what do you mean by Bible salvation? Because there's so much confusion out there. When you throw church and religion in the mix, salvation gets all muddied up. Well, you know, you've got to join a church, or you've got to get baptized, or you've got to do this, or you've got to say communion, or take communion, you've got to say the rosary, you've got to do all of these things and, you know, hope that you'll go to heaven. That's muddying the water. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." So Dad and Mom need to promote Bible salvation. Every night, from the time your little one comes home from the hospital in your arms and you put them in that bassinet or that little crib for the evening, Mom and or Dad, or especially Dad, lead the way. "Father, I pray for James today. Tonight, I pray that one of these days you'll save James." And the next night, "One of these days will you save James?" And when James is 3 years of age and Heather comes along, now it's, "Father, will you please save James and Heather one of these days?" And every day you're promoting Bible salvation to those kids. Putting it in their minds and in their hearts. Boy, this must be important. I don't hear Dad, I don't hear Mom praying for the same thing every day other than salvation, saved. Because, folks, there is nothing more important in life than that. Are you going to heaven when you die? Have you been saved the Bible way? Which is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's through Christ. Through His death, burial, and resurrection. He made it possible for you and me to be saved. Parents need to be saved, and then parents need to promote Bible salvation to their kids every day. Please don't leave salvation of the children up to the church. I'm going to run them over to Sunday school and church, and maybe they'll talk to them about getting saved. We'll help you. Boy, that should be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Dad, Mom. Hey, folks, children need the Word of God. God said twice, these words are my words. You teach your kids when you get up, when you sit in the house, when you walk out of the house, and when you go to bed. You teach them this book. Give them my words. God's word for the children. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just say a couple things by way of closing as we have prayer together. Please don't tune me out. I wonder who would say today, Pastor, something that was said throughout the course of the message challenged my heart about my relationship with my children and the Word of God. Dad, Mom or Dad and Mom both, grandparent, something. Somebody this morning, something that was said challenged me in my relationship as far as the Word of God with my children goes. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand wherever you may be sitting this morning? I see your hands. God bless you. I say amen to that. Be challenged by it. Don't run away. Don't flee. Don't shy away when the Spirit of God brings the hammer down on the heart and says, this is what you need. Be receive it with humility. Thank you. You may put your hands down. I appreciate you listening this morning. Now let me ask you a question. Do you have a Bible salvation? Do you have the salvation the Bible talks about? I wonder if that's your testimony this morning. You say, Pastor, I have that Bible salvation. I know for sure if I die, I go to heaven for a Bible reason. I know I'm saved. Could you raise a hand in testimony to that this morning? If that's you, I know I'm saved for a Bible reason. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there somebody here who would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand. I do not know for a Bible reason that I'm saved. Maybe you're confused about it. But a Bible reason. I'm going to heaven and I know it. This is the reason. A Bible reason. Is there somebody here this morning? Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, but I raise it now saying I could not say that. If you could not say that, would you just lift your hand? And I'd like to just ask the Lord to help you come to that knowledge. Anybody like that in the room this morning? Side to side, front to back. I don't know that I have that Bible salvation. I'm concerned about that. Anybody I can pray for. If you came this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now is the time to come. Or if you need to follow the Lord, you can talk to one of these men about it. If you need to join the church, you've talked to us about it. Or make a time to talk to us. That's available at this time as well. The most important thing is, did the Word of God speak to your heart this morning as far as your relationship with your children in the Bible? Have your own Bible time. Make time for family altar. Example the Bible and promote Bible salvation. Oh, go home and start today and stay at it. And if you're not saved, come and be saved today. Father in heaven, would you bless the preaching of your word? Your word is so powerful. It's so wonderful, Lord. The messenger is flawed. I'm a flawed man, but the word of God is not flawed. And would you help it today to do a work in our hearts as only you can. Help us to start at home with our children and your word. Speak to our hearts, O God, in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and the ladies are playing a song of invitation. God spoke to your heart. Why not come this morning? Take a minute to kneel and just thank the Lord that He spoke to your heart and ask God's help in this matter. God, I need your help. I need your help. God bless you, dads and moms. Lead the way. You come today. Did the Spirit of God speak to your heart? Kneel and pray if you can kneel. A simple prayer. God help me. God help me, please. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're not sure you're saved, now's the time to come. We're not asking you to become a member of a Baptist church. That's not what this is about. It's about knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. A Bible salvation. Are you saved? Can you say yes to that question for a Bible reason? God help us in our relationship with the Word of God and our children. As they're playing this morning, while we wait, let the Spirit of God speak to hearts today as only He can. While we wait, is the Spirit of God speaking to you this morning? Would you come? Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word this morning. I'm thankful for all the kids you allow us to serve and minister to here at the church. Lord, thank you for the resource we have to work with them, the Word of God. Oh, what power. And God, may it work in our lives, in our homes, in our relationships. May we walk the talk and be a living, breathing example to our children of Bible Christianity. Help us to pass it on to the next generation. In Jesus' name, amen.